I wanted to be a multimillionaire.
I want to be the judge of how successful or unsuccessful I'm going to
take
be.
Take control of your life.
I meant the hustle was still in me.
Mike Albritton, I wanted to have this conversation for a while because I think we're in the same community. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to make it just a Black Palm Beach thing, right. But we're in the community. Just we know of each other. We know of things that each other do. Mm-hmm. But I got a chance to get a chance to meet you as a person, mm-hmm. A little bit more of through our friend Bruce Guyton.
Yes.
One of Mike also owns a. Him and his daughter owns a private lounge, mm-hmm. smokers lounge, mm-hmm. Where a lot of the local, just good people, man, good people, good energy, a place where people are able to network. It's like a home away from home, I could call it.
That's correct.
Because Bruce definitely.
Yeah, lives there.
He lives there.
In a good way.
I know he's there before he's home. That's guaranteed. I got a chance to intimately meet you a little bit more there.
Sure, yes.
And like I said, Bruce, you know, anybody that Bruce speak highly of, I respect
100%.
And I guess, and so kind of long introduction, but that's how we got here. And great meeting you.
Thank you, sir. Likewise.
Could you give me a little bit more of born and raised where? Because I want to learn a little bit more about you while our viewers get to do the same.
Sure.
Are you born and raised where?
I was born in Fort Bragg, North Carolina, an Army base. Okay. My mother and father were both enlisted in the U.S. Army. So ultimately, I was born there. From there, I think within a year, I was brought down here to West Palm Beach to Dunbar Village. And my mother and aunt both lived there, I believe, next door to each other at the time. At some point, my aunt began to raise me, and my mother became the what they call Girl Friday back in the day for Melina Dietrich, who was a famous white actress.
What is Girl Friday?
That was executive assistant is what they call them now.
Oh, okay.
But in those days, she was called a Girl Friday, which was your right hand, the girl that did everything for you. As your assistant, if you will. But that was the title back in those days. So my aunt raised me for a number of years. I say, you know, 2 to 5-ish. And then at some point, my mother was done with that career. She used to send me pictures of a lot of famous people that she met in that process. They would sign it with my name on it. Here I was, knee high, and getting these photos with my name on it from some very, very famous people back in that day. Mm-hmm. But that was interesting to have. It enlightened me on what other parts of life is about. But at some point, my mother came back. And from that point, I'll give an example. My aunt owned a store on 4th and Rosemary. So a lot of people know me that are of age, know me from that area. So I was there. I was raised a lot there at Economical Sundries on 4th and Rosemary. So from probably the age of 3 until I think 11 or 12, I either worked at, supported, or our family business there, which in that case was owned by my aunt. Mm. So living right here in West Palm Beach at Dunbar Village, Westwood, running a pool room at 8 to 12 on Tamarind Avenue.
Wait a minute. So first of all, I want to go back. So growing up also in that around that time, how was it growing up in West Palm Beach around that time?
There's a lot of activity back in those days. It was a little different than it is now, and now it's better than it was then, surprisingly. But the type of crime was more respectful. There were drive-bys back in those days, those mm-hmm. pimps and supporters. But the other parts of life were, this part of town was for us, and across the bridge was for somebody else. And that kind of was in a part of my life. I got to see those and see that and understand that, and it helps me when I make decisions today.
How were you able to see that? Was it from your upbringing, your family teaching the difference, or?
Seeing it, hearing it. Above our store were caddies. The caddies that came down were the golfers that lived on the island. The caddies didn't live on the island, but they came and rented space from us over our store. So those men would come down and you know, I'm there. So they talk and you hear them talking and things like that. I'm there reading every book and every magazine because I'm young. I'm learning whatever it is before I was able to even work there at the store. I'm just physically being babysat there. But there to look at every magazine. I mean, from comic books to House and Garden to Architectural Digest. Some of my artistical values, I would say now, whatever that value is from reading some of those books back in the young day. I was a bookworm, became a bookworm. In school, I was a bookworm. I was a little bit of a geek. But then, of course, I found there was some fun in other areas, so I became a geek with fun.
Right. So that's super interesting. So you were living, of course, your aunt raised you. She owned the store, and around you, you saw, was it best of both worlds? You saw the golfers, mm-hmm. you know, the caddies, but you also saw.
Promise you, totally understand both. It's good to be smart and from the hood, what they want to call the hood, the ghetto, the blighted area, the underserved. That was my neighborhood. And while today, when people ask me to be a director of their programs and national programs, I remind them to watch the language that they use and they refer to my neighborhoods because that was just my neighborhood. Why is my neighborhood considered this title and yours isn't? That's what we knew. We knew the little Vanna Lunch cookies, you know. We knew Lily Dillies. We knew those things, and we didn't have a problem with it. That's just where we were. For you to call that something other than a neighborhood was insulting to some degree. But yes, understanding both sides of it does help me make decisions to this very day. I deal with contractors from time to time now who want to build a mountain at your expense, and you turn around and you find a way to do it without spending a dime. Those are the things that you learn by paying attention to things and not just listening to what someone else has to say. Look into it yourself. Spend time yourself. Happen today. Someone offered to do something that is out of ordinary, but something needs to be done. I found a way to do it for less than a third of the price just by listening to them talk. This doesn't make them smarter because they have this, that, or the other, i.e. degrees, experience. It just common sense is more valuable, respectfully, more valuable than all the above to me.
Absolutely. I'm from the community that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. I always tell people I'm a product of my environment. Mm-hmm. And in my environment, mm-hmm. you learn how to not just survive. You also learn how to make things out of nothing.
That's true. I call it putting lipstick on a pig.
Yeah, you can't order that from a degree, you know. And there's no disrespect either for those that have those, you know, those things. But I think I will pick any day of the street, you know. Not the streets, but to get that rough cut, you know, that built, you know, how we're built in those communities are priceless.
Especially
when you have other form of education around you. Right. You know, you learn from.
Yeah.
I always tell people, man, some of the best advice I got was from crackheads.
Yeah. No, they're paying attention. They know what's around. Yeah.
They've lived a little.
Evaluate that. Yeah.
You know, some of the best games I've received. Did you have brothers and sisters also?
None.
Only child.
Only child. And, of course, my mother actually raised me after
your aunt.
Yeah, so I've been without father, if you will, for some time. And if you can see me, you'll see he wasn't exactly.
Yeah, he wasn't.
He doesn't exactly look like us.
Yeah, I don't think he wasn't a little bit of color,
a little bit
folks.
Different, exactly.
He was a little. But how was that growing up, you know, with a. I'm assuming white father,
right. Hispanic,
Hispanic father,
yeah.
that wasn't around, mm-hmm. But you weren't like every kid in the neighborhood.
That itself was not only a challenge, but now I realize what a value that was. Mm-hmm. So to be mixed and to look like I do and did, I wasn't a fan of either. I wasn't a fan of my own people, black community. Nor the white or Hispanic. I was just in the middle. And I had to learn to make things happen without any support. I'm not going to say somebody wasn't around me at some point or that I didn't have parental support. Mm-hmm. But, you know, paying attention to my aunt being in business, paying attention to how my mother operated and when she was down here, the things that she did in the accounting firm and sewing and things like that, I paid attention to those things. But I didn't have a handful of friends. The friends that I have were 1 out of 10, but that was actually better than having 10 out of 10. And I mean it the best way that I can. that one out of 10 that saw me differently than what anyone else might have seen me, because that's seeing me, those people that I spent time with growing up, to this very day, we all love each other. To this very day. I mean, I actually am so joyed when I see one of my friends from that time and see the joy in their face seeing me, not knowing how much I also appreciate seeing them. So knowing that you were appreciated by someone that close to you back then tells you that the fight that you went through and the ignorance that you suffered during that time, it was worth it in the end.
What was it more like? You weren't black enough for one side, you weren't Hispanic enough for one
side? Absolutely. And it was considered white, not Hispanic. It was considered white.
Curly hair tells you what to do.
Yeah, no, it's straight up. It was, you didn't fit in either one. I just remember one good thing, though, when I was, I went to Nortec High, which is now River Beach Prep, and I went there for computer program and auto mechanic, and I did that. I didn't have to go to school my last year, so I think I did that my 10th and 11th year in high school, but also went there. And there was a fight that broke out between a brother and a white guy. And I ran in between both of them. I said, all right, stop. You know, they're getting ready to get into it. And I said, okay, who do I punch? Right. And they both looked at me and they cracked up laughing because whose side am I on? Yeah. So it kind of broke the ice. And so to a lot of degrees, I tried to use that to our betterment. Like I said to you before, if I'm placed on someone's board or as a director or otherwise, I try to break that ice because of my complexion. I believe a lot of people have selected me not catching the fact that the B word is in there. I'm serious. I'm that guy. So, but then of course I would raise my hand before I speak. But when I speak, you're going to probably hear you weren't planning. Yeah. For that, you wanted me to maybe follow the trend or thought I would just blend in.
Absolutely.
I'm not falling for it. I don't want you to bring a truckload of bicycles in my town and hand them off and pound yourself on the chest. I want you to find who the mother and the father is and give them the bicycle and let them get the glory from the son that they were given a bicycle, but not from you. And then talk to the mother and father about how we can increase their income. Not you come in here and drop off a truckload of bicycles and pound yourself on the chest on the way out. I'm not going to support that. Yeah, they're going to see you as that. And the bike, by the way, is going to be sold or stolen within a week if you give it to them. If mother or father give it to them, they're going to cherish it. So
that's a great point. So and growing up in a different culture, but how long did that go on for? When you got to high school, was it still?
Absolutely. That's one reason I left high school early. I was able to graduate early. And went straight to start working. I went to the Bahamas and stayed for a year or two with some friends that I met at the tech school. Then I got called for a government job that I'd been applying for even before I was old enough, and I wound up getting that job right out of school, basically.
But where did you even get that information and want to do all those things?
Well, I made a decision that if I was going to work somewhere, I wanted to make the most amount of money. So I looked at the five jobs in this area back then was Bell South, which is now AT&T. So Bell South, LPNL, Pratt & Whitney, United States Postal Service, and there's one more I can't think of. It might have been like Comcast, but whoever it was before Comcast. So my mindset was if I was going to have a job and have to work, because I couldn't afford to go to school, I went to Palm Beach State College and took courses. I actually taught college math for a minute because the teacher went missing, and they asked me to teach the class, so I thought I was a student. But this side or the other, when I decided to do that, I waited till one of those came through. I applied at all those places, and it happened so the Postal Service reached back to me while I was actually in the Bahamas to work there.
So you have friends that you grew up with that you were in school with. They said they're going back to the Bahamas, or were they?
No. They went to the Bahamas to live. They were from the Bahamas.
Oh, they so went they back.
I just went over there to hang with them because I was out of school early. But most of my friends that went to college were coming back and not being able to find jobs. And certainly that breaks my heart because the money and time involved in it, fun or no fun, but the money and time invested in that, it was hard to get a return on that. My most recent just finished paying for her college. And I'm thinking, my God, yeah, it's been a couple of years since that's been around, but we're not even using it. You know, not that the intelligence didn't fill in the factor. I do surround myself with intelligent people that have degrees. Some do, some don't. But I wasn't as fortunate to finish mine. I wanted to study law. But in order to do that, I had to go to, I think it was Lauderdale for seven more years and to Nova. And I went, I got to work.
How was that experience in the Bahamas for you working out there?
No, I didn't work there. I just went and stayed.
Oh, you stayed there?
Yeah, with a family. Yep. That was almost.
How long you stayed there for?
Almost a year.
How was that? Was that a different culture shock or?
Yes. I mean, because over here we're in plumbing. you know, over there they had the toilet, but it, you had to do something different. You know what I mean? Yeah, I wasn't ready. I woke up one morning found out I had to do something other than that. So that was an interesting thing. There were a lot of good parts about the Bahamas, though, that made it worth it. So
when you decided to come back up, what did you do after that?
I just started working. I'm a workaholic. Yeah, whenever, if you hire me to do paper cups around here, whatever it is, you'll never have to worry about paper cups anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm just that beast. Hurricane holidays, I was just bred that way. You know, being in families, being in business. My grandmother owned a restaurant here in town, and my grandfather was a tailor also in town. So I guess a little bit of workaholicism or the entrepreneurship kind of bred through. And as you probably know, my oldest daughter seems to have had that before I even met her. She had the entrepreneurship level. So,
did you ever get a chance to meet your father's side?
I did, but my mother asked me, I think when I was 13, if I wanted to know, and I said no, because he's not here. So my point then was, I was a man of the house since, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6. It's me and you.
We'll figure it out.
Who needs to know, or whatever, you know, what value would it be at that time? Today, I'd just like to know that I don't even know if he knows, because he was not the husband. They broke up, and then I was born. So not related to it, but mother had an issue here in this town. My mother was a beautiful, complected woman, and they called her a name that was inappropriate from her own people. And she had a concern that she would have a son that would have, or daughter, or child that would have the same thing. So as I understand, that's one of the reasons that this came about. She had a concern that I would be mistreated like she was mistreated by her own people.
Wow.
That's deep. So she planned to have a mixed child so that the child wouldn't come out dark complected.
Wow.
That's rough. She's no longer with us. But I put it out there, and that's the truth.
Yeah, because I think there's people that actually plan stuff like this also.
That
I don't think she was the first one that actually did anything like that.
Here I am.
Yeah. But now when you... So you say you're a workaholic. So 9 to 5s, what are some of the different 9 to 5s that you worked in your process of growing? You know, you work for, was it, you got one of those 5 pillars jobs that you wanted?
Yes. The Postal Service was one of those 5. Prior to that, truthfully, I only had 2 jobs before that. I mean, working for the family was one thing. And then I worked at the airport. Someone got me at the airport, stocking products. From then, I got into the auto mechanic world, and I worked with the company Nissan, what was called Datsun back then. When the new model cars came out, my job was to install air conditioners and things like that. So I did those 2 things other than the company, our family business. And then from that, I graduated from school early and went to the Bahamas, and then came back and worked directly for the Postal Service.
So how long you stay with the Postal Service?
19 years. I stayed there until I realized that I started the limousine company back then. I owned a limousine company as I started one. And I realized that I was paying a young lady to run that business as much as I was making working for the government, the Postal Service. So my thought was, well, at my age then, I can take a chance on just running my own business and not have to work for somebody else. And I can build my own business at my own time. And if it doesn't work out, I was young enough that I could come back, because I left there in a very good place. I was one of the youngest postmasters in Florida. At 28 years old at that time. So I knew I could come back and get a position somewhere. I was in a very, very good place in this area. But I never went back.
So entrepreneurship is a thing that was normal in your home.
Yeah. I didn't know it different from having a job.
So when you decided to start your transportation business, how did that whole thing come about?
Just paying attention, hustling. You know, looking for sales. Back in those days, there was no real internet happening, so newspaper. I took a look at the newspaper. I looked to see who was just promoted to something, who just made something, who just had a baby, anything that was celebratory. And then I would offer them services, either with our car service going to and from airports, the limousine to and from the baby, you know, hospital to home.
So they used to publish all this on newspaper?
No, we went out to the person. They would publish congratulatory things in the news. Yes, not just all bad news. They would notate who's running for office, who won, you know, those things. We would reach out to those people and offer them our services. Many of them on the car service side, we just offer like a free service. You know, congratulations, free service, da da da. Didn't hustle them anymore, but that brought back sales. they remembered that we offered to do that at that time, so they basically kept us in the pocket. A lot of people still come to me and say, man, I remember your limousine service. It's funny. Someone say, I remember you drove us.
Yeah,
but I enjoy the history of that. I mean, at my age now, it's been many, many years ago. But I enjoy that and building it that way. I mean, there was nothing else available. There was nobody that put me in the industry. There was I bought a limousine because I use a limousine. So when I used to rent a limousine to go out, the credit union that we did business with, I was passing by it, and my mother was standing in front of the credit union. I just happened to look and see her, blow the horn. She called me. She said, hey, they repoed a limousine from somebody, and you always rent one. Why don't you just put in a bid for that? I said, well,
Mike, I'm trying to understand something.
Go ahead and do it.
Why the heck you renting a limousine to go out?
I wasn't married at the time.
Oh. Yeah,
I wasn't married at the time. And I like to have fun at a tall level. I mean, work hard, play hard. So, and I was working hard, so I was stacking up to play hard.
You were stacking up.
Yeah.
So weekends, you like, I'm taking a limo out.
It didn't have to be a weekend. Starts on Thursday. because Thursday night was a popular night also.
Absolutely.
In this town. And then, you know the club owners, you know promoters. They want to see you come by. They want to see a limousine pull up. They want to see you and friends stop by. You let us in. You would always let us in.
So you were enjoying yourself. You were utilizing the limo.
What do you mean?
Absolutely.
It's a business deduction.
Absolutely.
Marketing.
Absolutely. So you knew how to do it well. So that's so brilliant. And I wish, more people could really look into it like that. Mm. There was a product and a service that you were continuously using. You realize, and your mom have the intuitive of, hey, you do this all the time. You might as well buy it and then turn it into.
No. We didn't buy it to go in business. No, we just bought it so if when I had to go out, I wouldn't have to rent. It was cheaper by the dollar, so to speak, from January 1 and January 31st, that if I owned it, the monthly payment on that was less than what I was paying someone else to rent their vehicle 2-3 times a month.
Wow.
So, and then a couple of young fellows, Anthony Young and Marvin Sapp, were young drivers. They were friends, but then they learned how to drive the thing, and they would drive me and whoever when we went out to play. Then one night while somebody asked me to use it, and just a friend, so I, yeah, okay, Marvin, take care of him, or Anthony, take care of him. And I needed one for that night. Something popped up, and I needed to be there. I went to the auction and bought a second one. Then one day I came home at my mama's house, two limousines, a van, a motorcycle, and a hot rod sitting in her yard. I'm going, what's wrong with me? I got to slow it down. I don't know if it was alcohol.
This is while you're working in?
Yep. All while working. So I stopped and said, okay, let me let these limousines pay for themselves. That'll be smart. Then I don't have to, started their business. Just started.
I'm trying to understand and visualize. Were you still in Dunbar Village around that time?
No. We were in Westwood Expansion then. Palm Beach Lakes in, Australia West.
Okay, you're out there.
We done moved around. We went from Dunbar Village to 4th and Rosemary area in apartments, apartments that looked like Pleasant City, but they were over here, Housing Authority, which is 21st and Division. I lived there, apartment 4. And then eventually we bought our aunt's house from her once her kids were out of home in Westwood. And so most of this activity was during that time.
But you're definitely Palm Beach. You're definitely West Palm Beach breed.
And this my family.
And your family. You guys are definitely built from that community. But now you're pulling up with all these transportation tools.
Yes.
You decided when, let me make this into a business.
It made itself. I mean, the volume started growing. I mean, with great respect, right now, as you know now, we sold the limousine company, I think in 2007, to some people from up north that wanted to buy us. I guess we had gotten large enough. I think we were at 26 units at the time. So they wanted to just get us off the map by buying us.
They
wanted a Palm Beach map. I was pretty good with that. I also noticed that Uber was coming into play then. So I know that the Uber rates to get to an airport then was $6.35, and my price was $65 to take you to the airport. So I know we were about to get wiped out soon. So I sold it for just under $1 million at that time. To that group, but I had planned to basically retire at that time. But that's right around the time I remarried. And then I thought, okay, well, my wife and my oldest son were in my life. I say, I got to do something with them. They got to have something else to do for an income because I can't carry everything. So I realized the people we sold a limousine company to were failing in the sense of customer service. Maybe not failing to the dollar, but the customer support wasn't there. I was getting phone calls.
Was it still your brand, your name? They bought everything?
Yeah. And, of course, you stay with it for a short period of time. I couldn't take that, so I contracted someone else to replace me, and I moved on. But then I realized that the bus company was still in my name because I'd started a bus company while having a limousine company. They failed to pick up on that, so I just took the bus company and started building it with my son and my then wife. And it almost runs itself.
So in that period of time, sounds like you had two wives in that period of time.
I was married once for almost just over 12 months, and she's no longer with us.
Okay. Did you have children at that?
Huh? From neither wife.
From neither wife. Mm-hmm. So building the business, you had a son at that time.
Yes.
You had a son at that
yes,
time.
Yes, between the first wife and the second wife, yes, I have six children between there. There's a gap between those times. My second wife did become impregnated, but we lost the baby.
Lost the baby.
Yeah, but so that gap right in there is where I live right now.
Yeah.
I enjoyed this, everybody. You should see his face.
Because I'm trying not to react.
Come on.
But I'm also trying to do the math.
I'm an open book.
Yeah, and your book is definitely, between the two wives, you had six children mm-hmm. in that time.
Yep.
Limo Mike, that's what I'm going to call you from here on out. Okay. Limo Mike.
But it was Limo Limo. Limo Limo was the name of the company. But
Limo Limo. Yeah. Limo Limo Mike had six children around that time. You definitely enjoyed yourself. How was it building the, because you went, when did you leave the post office?
Yes.
So now you're full-time
yes.
building this business.
Yeah. Yeah.
Raising children, dating, and managing the businesses, how was that for you?
I was very fortunate to, the negative is you work so much, you know, I don't think I threw a football, I have four boys and two girls. I don't think I threw a football with more than three of the kids, so to speak, personal playtime, 101. That's a negative, a strong negative to being a workaholic. Unfortunately, now four out of those six are workaholics. You know, because they by example, they see you do it, they're doing it. At one of the homes, I could work from home, so that was a plus. So I was home, but I couldn't jump out there and play or jump in a pool or whatever. So in the end, they would see me because there's an office at home. Or one time at one place we had, they took all the rooms. They took all the rooms. So the desk, the office was in the living room with the pool table, no couch, because they rollerbladed through the house. I mean, home fun. They would rollerblade through the kitchen, through the dining room, through the foyer, through the living room, and back, just rollerblading inside the house. It was a playhouse and a big pool out back, jumping off the roof into the pool. So that's how I raised the kids.
How many children mother in that time?
Four.
Four children, four,
mm-hmm.
just speaking our culture, four baby mothers.
Yes.
Managing four baby mothers, children, business, how did you keep that afloat?
You got to be smart. You got to be respectful. You got to be open. You could actually almost call it being soft. You could almost call it soft because I am giving in. I am supporting your position. I'm not going to be, it's my way or the highway. No, we are going to work this out. We're going to make this work.
Teamwork.
There was never a matter of child support with anybody, even after relationships. I was always willing to, if we ain't together, let me take the kid. Of course, you can't have them. But of course, once you say you don't want them no more, then they give them to you. So that was unfortunately reverse psychology. But in a sense, the game was give people what they want. Make it work. You know, nobody did without anything. If somebody did, I need to know about it because I'm unaware. But I just did the right thing. I mean, remember, I was raised by a single mother. and not young, you know, my early dating, I really preferred to date a girl that had a kid because I knew what she was going through. You know, the other guys would go, man, I ain't dating her. She got, bro, she understands. She would appreciate you more because look what she has to sacrifice to do. But I'd also make sure if we went somewhere, the kid's gone with us. Because remember, I was that kid. Wow. So, and my mother didn't necessarily leave me. They didn't go out like we do today. Right. You know, back in those days, you did what you did. And they would be home on a porch or, you know, whatever that situation is. You know, there wasn't no color TV when I was coming up. You know, it was black and white. But nowadays, you know, but if you're taking a young lady out to the movies or to the fair, bro, take the kids, man.
You're building a relationship with?
Absolutely. Both. You know, and long term, not necessarily passing through, just do the right thing. You know what I mean? Right.
And raising those, raising children and building a business, like what tools do someone, because I definitely understand the relationship that you build with the mothers. Mm-hmm. What tools does a man need? Like, what type of advice would you give him other than dating both sides? Like what type of tools does a man need to manage both of those things, from relationship with their children, building the business, and also dating in that process?
Lead. Be a good leader. Live by example. Back to the beginning. Do the right thing. You know, just, you know, hatred can come out of your mouth, but it comes out of you, goes into your heart just like it does theirs. If I sit here and use 10 curse words every second, they don't just go into your ear. They go into mine, into my heart. So those things build up at some point. And the word curse is curse. You know, curse the fig tree. It died. That actually has a value. Now, that's sometimes you got to meet the devil with the devil. I got you. But it don't mean you got to create it on your own. So in short, be fair. Be reasonable. Be supportive. Now, if somebody's throwing you under the bus, then you got to step up. You got to go, okay, hold up. Now you're going too far. But I would say for the most part, it's just being cooperative, being supportive, being real. Saying it, speak reason into something. You know, what you want to do, son, daughter, mother, whatever it is. My mother and I had an issue one time. One very thing she said to me, she taught me if someone respects you, show respect. But if someone doesn't show you respect, you don't have to respect them. And one time she and I had a situation and she was disrespectful. And I said, Mom, I don't want to be rude, but you told me that I don't have to respect someone that disrespects me and you're disrespecting me. Now, you're my mother. But I'm not feeling where you're going with this. So we're going to fix this, or I got to meet you halfway. You know, you don't take it. You don't take it up the back. You know, you just face on, communicate. I guess it's short, just like running the country, communication. You know, the words on a letter can start a war, but also the words on a letter can diffuse a war. So in short, it's still really communication. It's not sign language. It's communication. Clear.
It's everything.
Yeah, you can tell somebody KYA, kiss your butt, mm-hmm. and they laugh, smile, and say it's funny. You can say it in a different way, and it's offensive. Yeah. So it's communication. It's how you communicate with another human. And pets. Mm-hmm. And I've got people convincing me that talking to plants makes sense. I'm not one of them. Right. But I have people close to me that would look you in the face and say, yes, that's made a difference in the growth of this and that. Because before they did it, it was this and that. And now that they're doing it, it's this and that. I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to write that part off.
Yeah.
But what it adds to is this conversation, you know, the value of proper, clear communication.
And in that, also, because I don't know, you also found out that you have another child.
Yes, my very first.
Your very first child. Did that come out in the process of building these companies and everything?
I was, my wheels were down about then because, you know, I'm 2 inches from being out. I'm only working now because I love it. But she, Beret, came into my life about 4 years ago now, and we didn't know about each other. And we were 3 blocks from each other. As a matter of fact, my wife knew her, had, I think, purchased clothes from her, but no one ever associated two of us together. Her uncle and cousin worked for my bus company. And nobody, they would leave work and go by her place because it was so close to her place. So that was, now I had pretty much everything done by then, but all what she did was start me up again, of course, looking at her motivation, looking at her goals. trying to give her some of the experience examples that I've had so you know what to watch for. You know, there's no need in me letting you run into that wall when I can tell you, hey, watch this stuff. There's
especially
a wall coming
your
up.
Father.
Yeah. Obviously.
But even how did that come about? So it was just one day?
Yeah, the two of them, the uncle and the cousin, went by there. She was about to start one of her fashion shows. She has a very, very strong fashion show. And in that process, she was looking for business sponsors. So she said something to them, hey, if you guys know business people, you know, they said, well, hey, our boss is pretty cool. He'll probably do it. You know, give him a call. I said, what's his name? Says, Mike Albritton. Mike Albritton, I heard that name before. So of course, Facebook today. She pulled it up. She put it next to her face on because she carries two phones. She's a gangster. So carrying two phones, and that's when I know she was my daughter right then when I first met her. But she asked her mother, and the mother confirmed that there was a large chance that I could be her father.
So this is just... Because once again, you throw me off.
It's raw.
I'm looking for a sponsor. My cousin that worked for this guy say.
And uncle.
He might be someone that might be interested in supporting what you have going on.
Yep.
She looks at the picture and right away, she's just like.
If you've seen both of us. You put a butt on me and some hair, I look like her. You put a mustache
on
her.
I can't wait to speak with her about this. Like, what? She's like,
it's a blessing for both of us.
And she just went to mom, and mom's like,
yeah. So the uncle came and told me that day, and then I went, okay, so that means it's your mom, your sister, yeah. So I had him send me a before and after picture, so to speak, and I said, yeah, I remember her, but that wasn't the name she used. She went by her middle name back then. So this, that, and another, my oldest son and I said, well, let's go see this girl. So we went and got flowers and a balloon that said, it's a girl. I hadn't even met her yet. And we went to her place. She wasn't there. So the young girl who was there said, well, who should I tell her came by? And I thought about it, and I said, well, tell her dad came by. That girl started crying. So I said, okay, something's up. So we left, go back to work. But Ray finds out about it. She calls my oldest son because we left his number. We don't know talking about, and he's joking with her. He's like, well, listen, we already been there, we're not coming back, you know, we're kind of done with that for the day. You know, of course she's tripping out because she's thinking this is real, what is going on. So we did go back over there and to watch my oldest son and her communicate back and forth. That's a vision I'll never lose. Such joy, because he came to me almost the same way. I didn't know about him though. They just disappeared. I had people find him.
Limo Mike.
It's been fun. You're going to run out of time here.
We could stay here forever. This is interesting.
It may be TMI, but it's the truth. I'm not trying to frame anybody in any negative way. If somebody's got a different story, you need to tell me what it is because it ain't real. This is exactly what
happened. No, I think for me, the fact that... You know, a lot of people probably would deny it. A lot of people will run from it.
Yeah,
they won't,
yeah.
You know, for you to dive right in.
Head first.
And to...
Remember, I was raised without a father. For this girl to finally find her father, there's nothing you can do and nobody you know, the military, the Navy, nobody could have stopped me from being this girl's father. For her to be able to find her father? I heard somebody about that, for real.
Wow.
And I understood the responsibility that took. But seeing how far she'd come without, I mean, having raised her younger two siblings and things of that nature and already being in business, a third location, such and such, the challenges, that doesn't come without challenges either. You know, her podcast, if you do one with her, it's going to have some stains in it, mine. You know, it wasn't perfect.
I spoke with her about if I'm going to do it with you guys together or do it separately.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided to go separately because I think there's two different stories and it connects.
Yeah.
But they're just two different stories because her trial and error, you know.
Yeah, if we were both together, we'd probably cry.
Yeah. And I felt
still so fond of each other and of the history. Because, you know, she probably didn't want me to say this, but she had just lost her best friend right before meeting me. And wow. when I saw her the first time we saw each other, right after we met, by coincidence, we both wound up at an SOL function. And she came over to sit with my wife and I and we were chatting, and I looked over and she had left her girlfriends, I think three or four girlfriends at her table. So I got up and sat over there with them while she was sitting with my ex. So we both were basically sharing stories. And her friends said that you came at the right time, and they said that several times, and they never told me what it was then. But I found out that that she had just lost a best friend, and that basically now having me in her life would help her cope with that.
Absolutely. Because it's very difficult.
As a matter of fact, that's what this tattoo is for, about her. Wow. She has that same tattoo in that same location. I did that to let her know that. She didn't know I did it, but
wow, that's beautiful. And then how was the son? How was your other children? How was their connection?
Loved it. Loved it. This is the oldest one. They just said, hey, this is great. Let's do this. The only one I had a concern is I also had one other daughter at the time, all with me. And then I said, sweetheart, because she's been the princess.
Daddy's little girl.
Yeah. Sweetheart, you've got an older sister. And we're all looking to see you, waiting for the freak out. You know, a little sensitive, but, you know, whatever. And she said, great. When do I meet her? And we were all like, oh, shit. This will work. This is good.
Wow.
So I hurried up and put that together.
Put them together.
Yeah. And it's been big sister and little sister.
So, and then what you did also, you dive right into, because she's also an entrepreneur.
Yes.
You dive right in and giving her value and teaching her and building with her.
Yes, sir.
Like how that experience been?
It's been very good. It gives and takes. If you and I sit here and talk about something, you to me to you, I'll always say to you, these are my thoughts. It doesn't mean run off and do what I say. It just means put that in your hat and let it swim around for a little bit. Because I may be wrong, but I'm going to give you what my experiences are so you can decide what to do with it. Because I hope that you hear one thing out of 50 that makes sense to you and it was worth our time. If you get nothing, I love you. Glad we had a soda together. But if you can get one thing out of just like me when I do service with somebody, if I can get the attention of one kid out of 50 and I did it for free, it was worth the money to get that one kid. Bless you. So in the end, I don't see it that way. I'm plugging in, and what you get out of it is what you get. If you got some feedback, let's do it. Let's go. Let's beat this thing. It's you and me. Let's see what we can get out of it. Let's shake the tree. And if nothing comes out of it, we got the wrong tree. Mm-hmm. You know.
So. But we're open to get another tree.
Absolutely. Where is it?
So did you see some natural elements of, like, you know, what you have and that just same thing with her?
It's talking to a female me. Gangster, mobster, all the above, coming from the same places almost. Wow. Having the same experiences with the color bond. Mm-hmm. Yeah, having this people don't like it, those people don't like it, that same ordeal. It wasn't a pretty scene, but it's, and people may go through it for other reasons, mm-hmm. you know, because your hair long, your hair short, you got a big head, you got a small head, you got one arm, no arms.
Right.
You know, whatever it is, but our thing was our thing. And whatever people had against us was audible. You know, they didn't hide it or they did not show it. And, you know, it caused some parts in life, but I promise you I don't go by looking at that. I'm looking ahead, man. I can give a flip what happened. Well, I look at the past was what it did to me to make me who I am today. I'll look and value those experiences and say I must have put that under a hat to help me grow or to help me be whoever I am. I like yourself. I've talked to people before and they say, hey, man, I'm glad I talked to you. I got something out of that. I'm happy to hear that. But if you don't say that, I'm still fine.
Yeah.
Because we had a conversation, and it has no more value than the conversation of the time it took for us to do it. It's over after that. If you're able to do somebody, I've had people that aren't my children that were younger that did exactly what I suggested for them to do, and I've watched them grow with that. And again, like we started in the beginning, it's discipline. To discipline yourself, in one case, to go to the Marines, to discipline yourself to go into service, to discipline yourself to become a realtor. Discipline yourself to do this. To discipline yourself to get past what's right in front of you because you have a bigger goal. Don't just run into that wall and say, I'm done. Run into the wall, get up, and see if you can get around it, over it, under it, through it, but not fall and stay there. I don't know how to do it. It's almost that unless you're already in a profession, if you don't have more than one income, you're in trouble. Unless you're not always in a profession that's giving you six digits, you need to be looking at doing some cooking, painting,
creating some babysitting, form of hustle.
Newspaper route. I mean, I'm talking different numbers, but it's numbers, more money.
Were all your kids into entrepreneurship?
Four, two into education.
Okay. So entrepreneurship is just what you guys do.
They've been watching. That's all. I'm guilty. I think they just watched me do something with nothing and just said, okay, this is possible. And then they dove into it. And now, don't let me glorify entrepreneurship.
Yeah, we know.
There's some ceilings and some floors on entrepreneurship, and they are on a regular. I mean, you can look at your bank account one day and have two commas in it. You can look back and ain't got but one comma, and it's a low one. You got to be careful as an entrepreneur, as you don't have the safety net of being an employee somewhere. Now, that being an employee somewhere is somebody else's problem. You just got to do your thing and do it good, and you'll get this, maybe get an increase, maybe get this, maybe get a car out of the deal, maybe get promoted. Watch out getting promoted, because then when you go salary, you lose the overtime. Spoke to somebody yesterday, used to make $70,000 a year. They put him as a promoted and put him on salary. He went down to 50. What sense does that make? You know what I mean? So I'm sure he regretted that. And now his retirement's $1,200 a month less than it would have been had he not been promoted. So I only say that right now for people that are on that train. Be careful what you ask for, because it might not always be better.
And absolutely. And to add on to that, what I'm trying to figure out, what other business models that you guys as a family, it's mm-hmm. not just you.
Right.
You guys are involved with?
Well, their talents. One son, of course, you know, my older daughter is an entrepreneur. Her first thing that she started was making dresses, making clothes, and that was going over well. Unfortunately, then I showed up one day and I looked at a property that she had. She had 300 clothes in it, and it had enough room in there to, I think, make more money. So I kind of suggested, hey, you can do this property like you did that one, and this is how much money you'll make instead of this, and you can put what you're doing over here. So I kind of stole her space for her, and she's still able to do what she likes doing. And now, I won't say double your income, but you had at least 30% income by making that change. So from that, she got a high and went and did two other places on her own. And I'm just there to watch and enjoy watch. That. The other son, the older son, is a tennis shoe manufacturer. He can make a pair of anything out of anything. He has the molds to do the soles. He's got the molds to do the side panels, front and back. Then custom designing them. He started out just doing a shoe or two. Next thing, he's doing up to 1,200 shoes at a time for banks and other locations. Yeah, and he still does that today. The other son next down from that wraps cars, Palm Beach Wraps. He wraps right now mostly Lamborghinis. He's doing a Tesla truck right now, that aluminum cheese looking thing. But Lamborghini brings Lamborghinis in. They put it on a flatbed truck, take it to him. He changes the color. I mean, taking doors off, fenders. I mean, a car that ain't been on the road yet. He redoes the coloration of the vehicle and caliper colors and all that, sends it back to them, gets paid.
So the service business, and also still in the creative space in some
creative.
Form.
Creative. Each one of them is in a creative form.
Do you feel like you're in a creative, like you've always had
making
that
something
also?
From lipstick on a pig.
That's just what you guys
lipstick
do.
On a pig. You find this microphone. That you have here, this is a pretty new one, but if it wasn't, I could make it look new.
Without
having to buy another one. A new one's $500, I can make this look new for $79. $70. Got a little dust on here.
Yeah, you got it over there.
A compliment.
But in the business space, what do you believe is some of the secret for success? You know, I know discipline is one of them.
You nailed it.
That's the secret.
Staying focused. Spend time with things that have a value. Volume, I guess, is a big key factor to me. I mean, if you and I decide to sell toothpicks tomorrow, selling toothpicks is you're going to have to sell a lot of them. So selling 500 of them is not going to cover you and me for a day. We need to sell 500,000 of them a day. So unless we're focused on selling 500,000 a day, toothpicks ain't what we need to be in. We got to find who the market is, who buys toothpicks, who uses toothpicks, who builds it, who creates them, who can we subcontract the creation of the product, and then who else can we sell them to on a high volume basis. I was involved in Amway once, and that might be a suggestion, a point to make. Someone else impressed me. He was a mathematician that worked for me in the government, and he impressed me how he added numbers. He taught me how to do it. Now I teach other people how to do it from left to right instead of right to left. By doing that, he said he was involved in Amway. I started looking into it. I became a distributor by not selling. I became a distributor by buying, and I went to people like Pizza Huts for the degreaser. So they would use 55-gallon containers of it without me touching anything. They would drop ship it straight to them. So then I found out what pieces work and who buys that volume, and I go after that.
So you also been in the government space, government service business.
Yeah, but only as an employee, not as a they did call me after I left to be a contractor for delivery, and we did do that for about 6 years. That was a very unusual program, but I didn't really want to do it, but we made $144,000 a year doing that. Profit.
Yeah, And you're still in the transportation business today?
Yes, the bus company.
Now, how, because now you're saying now the business actually run itself. How do you get to that point as a business owner?
Pay your people well. Tell them what your expectations are. Treat your customers right. One thing I ask people that are customers, the bus company is Bus One, O-N-E. One thing I tell, I called a customer once, Dr. Pugh, an example, and I saw that he was with us, and this was years ago, but I saw he was with us probably 12 years. And I called him up one day. I said, Dr. Pugh, and we, you know, by me being on the phones in the beginning, you know, they all know who you are. Dr. Pugh, let me ask you, so why are you still with us? There's been a mistake or two that's happened in your service, but you are still with us. And I'm asking you because I don't have the same hairdresser. I don't go to the same gas station, car repair, dry cleaners. I don't go to anything to sell that. But you've been with us longer than I've been with those people. Why'd you stay? And he said, because, Mike, when there was a problem, you called me as soon as you knew there was going to be a problem and told me what to expect. So you never left me without anything. I didn't say it was a great thing, but you always told me what I should expect. So if I knew somebody was going to be late to pick him up, we called him before he was late to pick him up and told him what time approximately he or she would be there to pick him up. He said, that was so valuable to me, I don't want a chance of what I need to do to anybody else. So he stayed with me till he passed away.
So because I know the importance of that. How scaling your business, you guys started from where and where you guys are now? That's the core.
As everybody, one, started with one item. Then you buy your second one. Then you buy your third one. Then your fifth, and then the 15th, and the 18th. And
how do you get to the point where you know when to do that?
When you determine how much you're subcontracting to someone else to cover it. So if I'm so busy, if I was making cakes, and I don't want to know if I want to keep it in one room, I want to make it as simple as
possible. Yeah, absolutely.
So if I'm making cakes, and when I sell out of cakes, three or four people still want more cakes, before I start getting another chef or other equipment that costs me a lot of money, I got to be sure that those three are going to be consistent. So I will have somebody else that makes cakes that do as good a job as you make those three cakes for me. And then after a while, when it gets to be five and six cakes and it's consistent, okay, all right, I got to get another one. Now, I do explain to that subcontractor that, hey, I'm using you. I'm going to give you this work until I determine if I need to go one more notch. We can always support each other, but you're going to get this work until I make the next move. So I did that. It's all based on demand. You don't want to build equipment. I know what the matrix is since I've been doing it so long, 38 years now. I know the matrix is on how many pieces of what type of equipment I need in Palm Beach County. I know who the customer bases are. We don't have a lot of industrial here. You only have a few colleges, actually, considering we're not Houston, we're not New York, we're not Miami, we're not California, we're Palm Beach County. Broward doesn't excite me. They're saturated. Broward is saturated because they got Miami and Palm Beach to play with. Miami is saturated because they got themselves in Fort Lauderdale, so they're fighting down there. Up in Palm Beach County, and the money isn't the same up here anyway. Just find that sweet spot and stay still.
How important is legacy to you?
A legacy, my family legacy?
Your family legacy.
It is, because I recognize what they've done. I see what they've done. I'm going through what they went through. I'm raising children like they raised children. I am still them. Their blood flows through me. I try to stay in positive contact with those in the family, but I don't fight to be nobody's nothing.
Is legacy, because you're speaking about your family, but what about your children and what they're building and where they want to go? How important is that for your legacy, you know, carrying that on?
Sure, it's high. It's high. I have a grandson named after me also. There's three Mike Albrightons, me, my son, and his son. But I let them live their lives. I'm here to support them. Now, not just a phone call, Daddy, I need this, Daddy, I need that. I'm there for that too. You kind of got to be. But if you're on the right track, I'm there for you. If you're not, we're going to have some curt conversations, and that's where I have to leave it. Forcing them to do something is not on my list. They're too old for that now. I mean, you're talking about 21 to 43. So it's not going to be many fights, but you're not going to get my love unless you're doing the right thing. But I'm going to let you know it. Won't be a surprise. I'll send you an occasional text. How fast you return determines where we stand. So I put some ownership on them. I'm not gonna pull anybody through a hole. We'll go through it together. You know, I'll be there if you need some help. But if you ain't interested, okay.
So you knew to step up based on what you didn't have?
Correct. So what I would have liked to have had when I was younger. If I had a little bit more guidance, I might have done better. But I took advantage of what was around me. So without anybody grabbing my hand and showing me how to do something, I watch what they did and learn how to do it.
And in your journey, what do you consider a balance? You know, we hear this a lot as entrepreneurs. A lot of us really don't know what it looks like, you know, what it feels like, and how do we actually, you know, go for that route? What's balance to you?
Work hard, play hard. Work hard, play hard. Enjoying the things that are around you. Enjoy your community. Enjoy the people. Support organizations. Support people that you know are truly trying to make a difference. When you can, where you can. I mean, I can't tell you how much we sponsor in a year, but it's more than I like to. But there's never enough, because you are trying to help somebody else do something that they couldn't do without somebody helping them. It doesn't have to be you. But if you're in that space, you really need to seriously consider that. And I can tell you what my father does, who lives in heaven, who is God. He made it clear for me, the day I take a dime from somebody else, I'm going to lose $1 million. But at the same time, whatever I give to somebody else, I get 500 times that back. And I promise you, I do. I promise you, I do. I promise you, when I do something for someone who's wholehearted, I'm telling you, I'm so happy to do it, because I promise you, I see it come back. It won't have nothing to do with me. I say all the time, I'm not that smart. But you'll see something happen within that business, and the people that work there go, where this came from? What was that? Who did that? I can't even explain it.
What is it that you what do you consider success?
And enjoying life, health, believing in God and family. There's nothing left. It's, look at my age, my last three best friends are passed, and two are younger than me. We're losing people every day. Somebody passed away yesterday. I got a phone call. The only thing left here is your health and enjoying this life. The rest of that is just to support that, you know, i.e. family. Family is enjoyment to me, going out to eat with them. And keep in mind, there's eight of us when you go out. You know what I mean? So that's a G. You know what I mean? Because my daughters don't play when it comes to food. My youngest daughter, when we were going out when she was very young, she always just looked for the mark that said market price. She said, Dad, what's that? I said, that's basically the highest they could pay for it.
It's MP.
But the market changes, so they're being cute by saying, that's it. I said, well, baby, if that's what you want, you get it. And get two of them.
Get two of them. Yeah. What's next for you, man? What else do you want to – what's next for you?
Watching them grow. I've done everything I can do with where I'm at and the energy I want to put towards anything else.
And you enjoyed it.
Absolutely. Didn't miss a skip a beat.
Mike enjoyed himself.
Essa.com.
Yeah. .com.
I did. I didn't miss anything. I tell people that are close to me, if I pass away before you and you walk by the box, you can just say it out loud, as loud as you can. Nigga didn't miss nothing.
He did everything
he wanted to do. And some, again, considering your expectations. You know what I mean? You got to be understanding that, you know, if that purse for $5,000 is what you really want, you've lost your mind. If that's what you got to have, get it then. But I'm going to look at it a little differently than you might. I'll buy you five for $5,000 a piece. But and that's just an example. I mean, I said I'd have my own helicopter before I was in my 40s. I don't have a helicopter, and I'm 65 right today. So it's not a matter of, you know, have I achieved everything? I achieve everything that I was entitled to, I think. I think I'm where I'm supposed to be. I'm where he put me. And he either takes me to it or brings it to me. And I asked him to do that. I said, Daddy, if you can't bring it to me, lead me to it. And I'm leaning forward. So I'm not going to pass on an opportunity for anything, but I can't jump on everything. You know?
So, for me, man, I appreciate you coming by today, man, so we can have this conversation.
Sure.
And I'm going to tell everybody this, the way they could get to pick your brain, they could sign up to be a member at the lounge to get this information, man. But I appreciate you, man. And what you and Beret, what you guys are doing in the community is definitely commendable, man.
She's out of control.
Yeah, she's out of
popping up two more things coming up. And I said, girl, we got stuff to do.
Yeah.
We got our own stuff to do.
Keep going, man.
She's got another thing, two more things coming up. And I'm saying, what are you doing when you think to do these things? But she's had a giving heart all of her life, but without me. You know, I didn't raise her. But she takes care of people that I wish would take care of themselves, but I leave that alone. But that's her heart, and I'm supporting her however I can, not financially. You know, we do what we do, but yeah. we don't cross numbers.
For her to have a her daddy,
yeah, that was
father it. Involved. You know that really probably, you know, most I don't know when I'll speak with her about it. Mm-hmm. That battery that mm-hmm. it gave her, that battery pack.
That's a fact.
You know, took things.
No, she makes that clear. She don't hide that at all, and I'm happy to be her father. I'm so thankful. Like we probably will assume what it did for her. I want to tell you it did that for me too. I don't want to discredit my other children, but knowing that this girl found her father, and I'm it. I told her in the beginning before her family wanted a DNA test, so we did do it, and that was a heck of a 3 days for her to wait for the results.
Yeah, I could only imagine.
But I told her, I said, baby. If you're not my daughter, I'm gonna be your daddy until we find a dude. And so she was solid in that. But the day we found out, she was so excited. She went to climb on top of that 2-story building.
Yeah.
I said, girl, you better come down from there.
That's a beautiful thing, man.
Yeah, man.
I can't wait to have this conversation, man. Mr. Mike, man, thank you for coming by.
My pleasure.
Definitely an inspiration. You know, to meet a man that stand up for what's his and also willing to bring value into our community.
Yes, sir.
You know, commend you for that, man. Thank you again for everything you do.
My pleasure.
Man.
I'm proud of you, young man. I see Thank the you. Things that you've done. Apparently, you're doing more than I even know about. So I'm happy to hear that, and I wish you the best. And we're going to be here.
Absolutely.
So I look forward to that journey.
Absolutely. Thank you again.
Thank you, sir. God bless you.
Thank you, brother.